Previously on 1D10, the show!
Yeah, but if we want to get out of this situation without them, killing us, then we gotta make ourselves useful at this point.
I've been making myself useful for years, yo.
No, you've been making yourself a slave and a dog, yo.
Rottail just kind of gently pushes the two of you apart and walks between you to address the council and goes,
"Don't worry, we won't count on him to attack, just to be seen in the city and be known that he is not imprisoned."
Oh, well, I could do that really easy.
"If you can get us the city, give us the opportunity to seize it for ourselves. The Hound shall have her freedom."
Whoa. So, you want me to help you seize the city? Oh, no, your price just went up, buddy. I thought I just had to be seen in the city. This pretty face goes at a price, but if you need me to, essentially set up a coup for you to seize the city, that's gonna cost you a whole lot more. Alright, I turn back to the council. "Okay, so if you won't give me money, in order to stage this coup for you, I will need resources in order to create more weapons and ammunition to allow myself and whoever is joining me the ability to set up this coup for you."
"Rottail, you can get this one what he desires in Balastia, correct?"
Rottail looks around for a second and says, "I do have my connections, yes."
"Do it."
It's like, usually I'd be able to do it pretty good. I know what I'm doing, man. I'm good. I'm an awesome beta. You know what I mean, man? Do you get what I'm saying?
But like I said, next time, come at us not snarling wolves, and you won't get shot.
"If you guys want to talk to Alpha, if you want to be part of the pack, I think you guys have to prove yourselves as well, right, man? So, man, do you want to, run our errands for us? If you do that, I'll totally set you up with Alpha. I'll get you there, you can talk to him, and we'll be super chill about it. And, he can get you up to the upper levels, It's... I promise you, man, it's nothing too tough, right?"
"Let's collect the debt. So there's swords and such, purple, obviously the purple area of the city, 250 gold, there's bling from green, 170 gold, and then budding talent from the USS, so that's Umbrella, Foxtrot, Sierra, just so
the uncategorized space societies.
There you go. 420 gold, and then it says silence the squealer. Booms has to go. Find him somewhere in UFS, and then grease the pockets. Give the gatekeeper anything that he needs."
I don't know the Alpha. All I know is that these things come running in. They cause havoc. They just run to whatever gateway they want. And you know what? I can let them do it. I can put up with it a little bit if you help me. All right. Okay. Look. So there's the gatekeeper for the second level. He likes to kind of lob things over me. He thinks he's so smart. That is so clever. He gives me these riddles, and he thinks that he can just do whatever he wants, and that I'll never get it. And the thing is, I can't get it. I feel like an idiot. I've been stressing so much over a few of these. If you can answer these riddles for me, sure, I will let the pack do whatever they would like. You can tell a pack, they can go ahead, they can run wild, run amok through these gateways. I'll just turn a blind eye. Do you have a riddle that I can send back at this guy that will drive him crazy?"
"If he would have seen the sawdust, he would have lived."
That is so dumb and needlessly complicated, and I love it!
Right?
And he writes it down. I love this, I love this. Go ahead and go wherever you want. I mean, obviously, just level one, but... You know, feel free to have your run of the place.
Well, riddle me this. What do you call a Dungeons & Dragons live play podcast that you should share with your friends? The answer, 1d10 for show!
Alright, so, can we ask you one more question?
Yeah, sure, what?
So, the pack wanted us to go do some other things. They told us to go to Swords and Such in the purple area.
Oh yeah, that's level one of the purple district. In fact, once you go out of the gateway, you take your first right, and then a left, and then it'll be right there on the right-hand side. You can't miss it.
Perfect. Then we will go do that.
I came up with a riddle.
Oh,
what has two arms and two legs and hates riddles? And then she leaves.
Aw.
I want to know the answer!
I think she meant herself because she doesn't like riddles.
Oh, okay. Well, that's dumb. I'm not going to use that one.
I didn't catch your name.
Oh, well, I'm just the gatekeeper. That's the only name I've ever been given.
Oh. Well, I'm going to call you Bob.
Bob? I like it.
All right. All right, Bob. See you later.
All right, thank you. Thank you, thank you. You are so much better than those other guys that were here. Let me tell you.
Oh, Bob.
Yeah?
Now that we're on good rapport, I know that we humans all look similar, or half-elves, or elves. But can you remember anything about those people that came through?
At this point, Kate wanders back in because it took Locke too long to leave.
Yeah, there was this big guy with, like, flowing hair, and he, like, tried to talk, like, all official and stuff, like, "Hey, I'm so cool and big, ha ha." And then there was this little guy, and he used a really funny voice, and he's like, "Hello, I'm here to talk to you." And he was, like, really small, like, even smaller than I am. And they... Get this. They were going to go and try to break Locke King Killer out of the prison. Like, how crazy is that?
That's totally crazy. Did the guy say that he was, paladin or a preacher of the Church of Genericus?
Oh my gosh, he would not shut up about it.
Alright. Okay, that's... And so, they said they're going to break Locke Kingkiller out of prison. Interesting. Where is the prison?
Well, I mean, that's... Whew, that's all the way up at the top. That's at the palace, buddy.
Oh, interesting. And Locke Kingkiller is supposedly there.
Well, yeah, I mean, the greens and the purples made a big old deal out of it when they brought him. Like, "Oh, this man killed the king, he killed the green king, and so we're going to go in and we're going to take him and we're going to, you know, put him in prison and he's going to rot. We're going to have a trial, probably just, you know, let him die of starvation or something. I don't know."
Gotcha. Well, Bob, you've been extremely helpful, and I hope those riddles stump the second gatekeeper for you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm really looking forward to bringing this up.
All right, see you later, Bob.
Bye!
Wait, so am I hearing this correctly? Do you have people trying to break you out of a prison that you're not in?
Shh!
We've already left the gatekeeper's place.
I don't know why they think I'm in prison, but those are some of my companions I was with before I was brought into this world, and I ran into you and your Ratael guy. So I don't know how they got here as well, but obviously they think I'm in jail and are gonna apparently break me out. So hopefully we can find them before they get themselves killed.
Do we know where they might... Can we ask him where they went after they went through the gate?
So I pop my head in real fast. Bob, do you know what direction that those weirdos went?
Oh, yeah, they went into UFS.
Great. Thank you, Bob.
No problem.
All right. I guess they went into UFS, whatever, wherever that is.
Well, you know, I hear from this sheet that you have that UFS is looking for some budding talent.
It's true.
And also Booms over there. That's the squealer.
Oh.
I mean.
He's in. So that's two things. And then we could potentially run into my friends. But we know exactly where Swords and Such is. Let's go to Swords and Such first. Just because we have exact location, maybe we could be a little bit quicker about that. And then we can head to the UFS.
Well, should we go talk to the pack first? Maybe the gatekeeper thing was enough.
Oh, I guess we could do that. Yeah, let's head back. All right, we head back to the pack.
All right, and you see that they're still just sitting around the fire, and Willy, the beta, is just still there going, oh, like, seriously, dude, like, it hurts so much. Like, ow. Like, look at it. Like if I move it over to the right just a little bit, it's like, it hurts a lot. But if I move it over to the left, it's like, okay, this is pretty cool, man. But
I come up behind him and, like, slap him on the back where his wound, not, like, right on his wound, but, like, close to his wound. Be like, hey, Billy!
Oh, it's Willy, man! Billy's over there! I'm Willy!
Oh.
Gosh! Man, you suck!
So sorry. Oh. I'm so sorry.
Have you already done all my chores for me, man?
Hey, we got the gatekeeper's permission for you guys to run around as much as you like, and he won't bother you.
Really? Like, seriously, we can get away with that?
Because of what we did to help him out with his little tasks, he gives you permission to do that.
Man, that's awesome. Alpha's going to be pumped to hear about that.
Yeah, we should go tell him about it.
Yeah, let's go tell him right now.
No. So seriously, like, he's a little bit pissed at me right now, man, like, he thinks that, like, I'm not worthy of being the beta, and so, like,
no.
If I try to go back to him and just be like, oh, yeah, the gatekeeper will let us do whatever, but, like, I haven't done anything else, man, he's gonna be like, man, you suck, and I'll be like, no, I don't, man, and he's gonna be like, yeah, you totally suck, and then I'll feel bad, and, like, dude, we can't do that, man.
Locke's just, like, rubbing, like, the bridge of his nose and just, like, trying not to kill him.
for the love. So I walk up to the Willy or Billy or whichever one got shot, and I use my Fae presence. Says, starting at first level, you have the ability to project the beguiling and fearsome presence of the Fae. As an action, you can cause each creature in a 10-foot cube originating from you to make a wisdom saving throw against your warlock spell save DC, which is 13. The creature that fails their saving throws are charmed or frightened by you. Once you use this feature, you can't use it again until you finish a short or long rest.
Okay. All right, and your wisdom saving...
DC is 13.
Yeah. Okay, and I'm doing wisdom. Which, surprisingly, considering how I've been playing these characters, their wisdom is actually very, very high.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I will do Willy first, then.
Okay.
That is a 17.
All right.
Okay, and then I'll just do each of them just really quickly, just click through a bunch.
Yeah.
Okay, 16, 18, 12, so you have one. Let's say that one is Jenny.
Okay.
17, 19, and a nat 20. So you got one of them.
Okay.
That...
Well, and I'm going to use the charm on the one and be like, You know, you guys have been working real hard, and you guys have been running around, and we're doing stuff for you. It just wouldn't be fair. I mean, I know you specifically,
Yeah, like my name is Jenny. Like
Jenny.
Willie told you all of our names. That's Willie, Johnny, Millie, Jenny, Billy, Bonnie, and Benny.
Jenny.
Like,
and,
oh my gosh!
And Kate goes over to Jenny and like kneels down next to her and is like looking her right in the eye. And is like, Jenny, I know that it's hard being just someone in the pack, someone in the middle of all of these names that almost nobody ever remembers. But I remember you, Jenny. Jenny, you are the best of this. Don't let Willie tell you otherwise. Don't let Billy or any of the others.
Like, right? Like I'm thinking I could be Beta. Like, I could do that, man.
Yeah, look at him. He's all hurt. He's been whining this whole time. He is
like,
just...
Oh my gosh, he has not shut up.
I know,
oh,
right?
My wing hurts, man. Ugh, man.
Look, all you
that's
need
like
to do...
totally not... Oh.
You just, you can be the best Beta there is. Forget Willie. He's a whiner. He's a nobody. He's a loser. You've got what it takes. I believe in you, Jenny. I believe in you.
Man. It's been like so long since someone's believed in me, you know? Like, I get it. Hey, Willie! What, man? Like, can I be like, I don't know, like, can I be Beta? No, man, no. You can't be Beta, because I'm Beta. But, like, I totally could be Beta. Like I'm cool and, like, girl power and whatnot, you know, man?
And Kate stands up and says, no, no, do it like this. Willie, Jenny is now the Beta. If you have a problem with that, there's a man behind me with a gun.
Roll an intimidation check.
Okay. Now you say it, Locke.
That was a 7.
I'll come up behind Kate and like cock my gun and be like, okay, we allowed you guys to run amok as much as you want. I'm sure that's plenty, right? And then I'll try to intimidate him too.
Intimidation!
19.
Nice. Woo! Okay, and with that, you know, Willie's looking at that gun, and he remembers, obviously, that, oh man, that like totally hurts, man. And he looks around at all the rest of them, and he's like, okay, look. Okay, like, as long as you can at least get rid of booms, like, that's the one that he's really pissed about, because, like, Booms, I guess, works for that crane guy, and, like, he and Alpha just, like, have it out constantly. They're, like, in this battle for the underground and whatnot, and it's like, man, Booms, like, he was helping us out, but then, like, he went in and started helping the crane out, like... Take care of Booms at least, man. I guess we can go and collect the money from the different shops and whatnot, but can you at least take care of Booms and maybe go see the florist too? Like,
said just Booms.
Man. Like, I don't want to go all the way to UFS. I hate it there. It's, like, so weird. It's, like, the buildings are all, like, funky and, like, going boop-bop, boop-beep. Like, there's no rhythm to it, man.
Well, which one do you hate more? UFS or... And I, like, shake my gun at him.
Well, I mean, you're already gonna be there, man. Just... Look, we'll go to the weapon shop. We'll go to that artificer. We'll get that money, but... Can you at least do budding talent, man? Come on.
I look over at Kate. Like, give you the, what do you think, gesture?
I just shrug my shoulders, because I'm not sure, I guess if they're in the same area, kind of like, you know, kind of this cock.
Hey, I'll tell you what, I'll let you go ahead and keep the ring that you put up there, man, and, like, it has some pretty funky powers, like, seriously, dude, like...
like that. I can't believe that you killed Ra'tael or whatever to get it, man. But like, wow, that's pretty cool. That's like, you know, that's yellow fairy property right there. But I'll let you keep it. I'll pretend like I didn't see it, man.
Okay. Well, Willie, what? Or Billy. Willie, your wings hurt. Billy, fly up and get the ring for us. Bring it down here, and then we have a deal. We'll do UFS stuff, and then that's it.
Oh, and by the way, if you go back on this, Jenny's the new beta. You understand?
Oh, man.
You understand?
I don't want Jenny to be the beta. She, like, want to do, like powwows nightly and stuff where we talk about our feelings and crap. I don't want to do any of that.
Oh, no, don't give me this misogyny on top of everything else.
And then Jenny pipes up. She goes, actually, that's kind of right. I do like going into feelings and stuff.
Either way, just don't back out of what we just agreed upon. And I hold my hand out waiting for Billy to give me the ring.
And Billy just kind of walks over to the statue in a huff, starts whispering to himself,
Billy, what are you going to do with it? I haven't even talked to the guy, and he's commanding me around, just pointing a gun.
Anytime, Billy.
Jerk.
Anytime.
I'm getting it. And he flies up very gracefully, but, you know, his face is still pouting, but he's just this graceful, majestic creature as he grabs the ring off. And then goes back to the ground and then just starts dragging his feet as he walks back over to you. Maybe Jenny would be a good beta, then I could complain about this and someone would listen to me. Hey, Willie. And he hands you the ring and goes, there you go.
I'm gonna cast the prestidigitation spell and make an illusion appear in my hand of the world's smallest violin.
And I go up to Willie and be like, all right, deal, Willie. I guess we'll see you after we do the UFS up. So sit here and sit tight. And I slap his back again.
Oh, man, dude. Like, I told you that hurts. Why do you do that, jerk?
By the way, you did just do one damage to him.
Trying to toughen you up. How are you supposed to be a good beta if you keep whining about pain all the time?
Hey, I'll be a good beta. I promise, man. Just... don't make me look bad in front of Jenny. Like, dude, she's, like, cool, man.
Oh, and by the way, I hand the list over to him. Write directions down to the budding talent for us.
Oh, yeah. It's underneath this tavern, the Wounded Beast. Like, you can't miss it.
And he draws a little makeshift map on there for you.
All right. Thanks, Willie.
All right, man.
Let's go, Kate.
All right, and as we're leaving, Kate looks over at Jenny and mouths like, "You got this. You got this. We're behind you."
And Jenny does the Mockingjay salute because, you know, that's universal.
Excellent. All right, the owl's going to follow us. He's not going to keep an eye on these losers anymore.
Well, at least we got out of doing two of our tasks, so I say, hey, that's not too bad.
Yeah, these fae are sure hard to convince, or easy to convince, depending on, you know, the phase of the moon, or whether or not they had eggs for breakfast, or some other whatever.
All right, we head to the budding talent!
All right, so as you arrive at this florist shop, it looks empty.
Lame.
Something tells me the talent already budded.
good one. Go in, you know.
All right, and as you open the door, a little bell rings, and you see a few flowers around, but they obviously have not been... they haven't had any upkeep in the past little while, it's obvious.
Anyone? Can I see anyone or hear anything?
I'm going to do a perception check.
All right.
Oh, well. By the way, I was going to say this before. Before we get there, I'm going to take a quick 10-minute rest so that I can get some of my slots back.
All right. Awesome.
There you go. Okay. 14 for my perception.
right.
All right. With a 14, as you look around, you see that there's no sign that anybody is there now, but it seems like somebody has been there recently. You see that there is kind of a little bit of a scorch mark leading into the room in the back.
That's not a good sign.
I'm going to roll perception twice for me and my familiar.
Okay.
The first one was me, the second one was that stupid owl.
A critical success and a critical failure for the
owl. That owl has literally rolled three crit failures. Three botches.
Oh, man.
This is why it does. This is why it does not deserve a name.
That's awesome. But at least you got a critical success.
That is true.
All right, so the owl just
flies into the door.
Flying into the wall. Boom, boom, boom.
But, however, Kate, you do notice, it's almost imperceptive to, you know, just normal human eye or half-elf eyes, mm-hmm. but you do see there are some drips of blood leading into the back room.
I'll be like, hold on. There's some blood leading into the back room. Do you see it? I pointed out to him.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, that's not a good sign. I pull out my gun and advance slowly.
All right. As you guys go into the back room, you see that there's a desk set up. And with your perception check, Kate, I will say that you can tell that someone has recently been here within the last few nights. It seems like there was a group of people. And you see that there is a ladder leading up into a trapdoor in the ceiling, but the blood trail actually goes to a closet in the back side of the room.
Shh! There might be someone in that closet.
Alright, you open it up and I'll be ready.
I've got a better idea. You get ready. And I'm gonna get ready. And then the owl swoops in and, like, grabs the handle with its beak and starts yanking on it. And it has it has a strength of 3.
Okay, let's go ahead and roll a strength check.
Okay, so it's a -4 modifier. Oh, but it was a natural 20! Finally!
Okay! Alright! So, owl does not see well.
But it's strong.
But it's strong. Okay. So, yeah, it is able to rip the door open, and you see in this closet these 4 small green creatures dressed in kind of these robes, and they all have little name tags. You can tell that they worked at the florist shop, and all 4 of them are dead.
Oh.
Can we tell how long they've been dead?
Go ahead and do an investigation check.
All right. That is a 1.
That is a critical failure. You have no idea.
The four rolls I've done in the past have all been either crits, successes, or failures. Man, rolled 20
okay.
is something tonight.
All right, and so, Locke, you rolled a 12. With a 12 for your investigation check, you can tell that it has been at least more than a day.
All right. I relay that information.
Well, that probably means we're not in immediate danger.
Okay. Well, if there's nothing else here, let's check the other spot.
I also see if they have any goodies on them. They're not going to be using them.
You found 12 gold.
I found 12 gold.
Which isn't quite the 470, I think it was, that they owe the pack, but it's something.
Well, 12 gold.
I guess it's something. All right, let's go to the other spot.
The trapdoor?
Yeah.
So as you go up the trapdoor and you push it open, it moves this carpet aside, and you see that you are in the back room of this tavern. And in the back room, you see a group of creatures, a couple of which Locke knows. As you see Roscoe, Lord Cypher, these two demon-looking creatures, and this little tiny ogre.
Hello there, my lovelies. This is Brady, and can I just say that it is an awesome feeling to just being so close to having all of our cast members finally together. And it just feels great. I'm loving where this arc is going. I'm trying a few new things with it, obviously, as you guys have been able to tell. Of course, I would be remiss if I didn't take a little opportunity to once again thank our patrons, calling out specifically Jim, who has been with us since nearly the beginning, which is absolutely awesome. Also, Jeremy Crane. Without your guys' support, plus all the support that we have just from giving us a listen, you don't have to donate on Patreon or anything like that. Just listening to us, sharing us with your friends, goes such a long way. As I'm sitting there and editing for hours on end, you know, it gets a little bit tedious, it gets a little bit tough, and there are times when, you know, I start to wonder, why am I even doing this? Is anybody listening? And the answer is yes. Yes, you guys are listening, and that is awesome. And it really helps me to just stay motivated, so I just wanted to thank you guys. So let's get right back to the episode. Now, where we're going to be picking up is going to be a little bit of time chronologically from before where we just ended, because we have to find out what exactly happened with Roscoe and Cypher in that little interim. So let's get right back to it.
All right, and welcome back. I'm glad to have you guys back on board, get back into the story. You know, we had some fun with some other characters, but now it's time to get to the characters that actually matter. Am I right?
Well, that's exactly right.
Very nice. All right, so from what has happened since the last episode, you two, and of course, Scuzz Filth Bucket, you went to the Wounded Beast, and there was no sign of the crane. However, you were able to talk around with a few people and find out where his headquarters were, which happened to be just down the street. So, I mean, luckily, it's easy enough to find. However, Scuzz Filth Bucket decides, after much cajoling and, you know, you guys making fun of him and kind of beating him down and making him cry a little bit too much, that he was going to go back into the other realm. So, Lord Cypher, you helped him to do that, and he was actually going to go and help Svinja Gwyn with a few things, and he will likely come back at some point, but for now, it's just the two of you.
Just before he goes through the portal, can I be there too to talk, give him like a little pep talk as he heads out?
Sure, let's go ahead and let's play that out. Let's play that out.
Just a little, all right, Scuzz, you're heading back. I just want to let you know, only quitters quit, so I hope you feel good about yourself. Have a good trip.
I hope you know he's being sarcastic. We don't hope you feel good about yourself. We can't believe you're quitting on us.
I believe that Svinja Gwyn will need an update on what's going on.
I guess that makes sense. Well, anyway, be safe.
All right, I appreciate it. Says you are too kind to me, too kind.
Oh, well, I guess we better fix that then.
Well, I'm feeling guilty now. I feel like we've not been that kind. Scuzz, I wish you the best of luck and hopefully survival.
All right, I appreciate it, Says.
Notice he says hopefully, meaning he doesn't really hope that you survive. I mean, he just hopes. He doesn't really expect it, but
I don't think it'll happen, but I hope so, for your sake.
For your sake. And then I'm going to pat him on the shoulder.
Ow, sir, that was a little rough.
Okay, I'm going to do it a lot more gently and be like, there.
Thank
you.
And
I'll give him a sporting pat on the behind.
Whew.
There it is.
Well, that was actually a little delightful. I appreciate it, sir. Now, can you please do the thing where you slice the air and let me go through?
The air slices apart.
All right, and nice. Scuzz is gone.
Nice.
Well, problem one solved, my friend.
All right, got rid of him. Now we just need to find Locke and get rid of that one, and we'll be good to go.
That's right.
All right. Okay, and so as you guys get closer to the headquarters of this, the Crane, you see it's in just kind of the plainest looking building. It almost looks kind of like a warehouse. There's a door that has an isolate in it, and as you walk up to the door, you see a small sign, very small, that says, Crane Legitimate Business Corp.
I'm not sure if this is a legitimate business.
I mean, it's quite an interesting door, though. Look, there's a tiny ice here, also known as an icelet. Oh, wait, did the DM say an icelet?
I think he said an icelet, meaning so somewhere you can look through.
I see, that's not a little
thing.
Ice. I see.
A slit for eyes.
For your eyes.
An icelet.
Well, I guess it would be, way above my head, I'm assuming, because it's up there. But I can tap it, see? Tap, 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 tap.
Tap, tap, tap. I'm tapping as well. We're going to see if this icelet opens.
All right. And the icelet opens, and you see just this kind of tiny head where, you know, it's... Their entire head is probably about 2 inches across, but
it's
see these little eyes look through and go, "What's the password?"
So because I'm short and can't see, I'm still just tapping, just kind of moving my finger out there. Just to see.
Please stop, Sez. Please stop.
Roscoe.
Sorry about that.
Roscoe, I think you might be better suited to talk to these guys than I am.
Well, hoist me on your shoulders, then.
I'm going to lift Roscoe up so we can go. See through the ice lid.
Oh, there it is. All right. Oh, hello.
What's the password, sir?
Dingleberry.
Are you serious? That's what you come with?
Roscoe's deadpan right now, like dead serious, looking into his soul with his eyes.
You know, I always ask everybody for a password, even though, well, you don't really need a password to get in here, but that was the most creative password I've heard in ages. Come on in.
Well done, chum. Well done.
That was a little bit of thieves' cant.
And you hear these locking mechanisms. Clunk, 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 clunk. And the door just swings open slightly.
Just like a little bit?
Yeah.
I'm gonna push it, see if it'll like... if it's loose or if it's like solid.
It's loose. You can get through.
Okay, I'm gonna push it the rest of the way. I'm gonna walk in. But I'm gonna be ready for anything. I'm gonna have my... Oh, no! Timeout! Rewind! Yeah! Before we go in, I'm going to whistle so that Winston, my little dagger, is floating on my shoulder, ready for anything.
Ah, I completely forgot about Winston.
Yes, as did I last episode, and then I was looking at my stuff. I was like, hey, I have a floating... Hey, Winston's a thing, and he
awesome
should be following
dagger.
Us.
Oh, yeah.
So I've got Winston ready on my shoulder just in case something happens, and then I'm going to creak it open and step through.
All right, so what you see before you is not at all what you guys were expecting to find. It almost looks like the lobby to a doctor's office. You have this kind of cheesy music playing in the background, and you have a bunch of people, a bunch of different creatures kind of sitting around, looking at magazines. There's... What you guys now know is a brownie, which is this kind of brown creature with long, gangly limbs bent in awkward angles and little spines coming out of it. You know, like the farmer that you guys met in the mm-hmm. first episode. You see these three, they almost look like school-aged children in matching outfits, identical in every way, with glowing silver eyes.
That's not creepy.
All just kind of looking, kind of all three of them turning their heads at the exact same time to see you enter and then turning them back. And then there's another creature in the room in the back corner, this very large, imposing creature in a trench coat and a hat covering their face, so you can't really see what they are or what they look like, but you just get kind of this sort of feeling off of him.
So I'm going to go ahead and raise my two fingers to my temple and run a little detect good and evil.
Okay. All right.
So the duration, I will know if there is an aberration, celestial, elemental, fey, fiend, or undead within 30 feet of you, as well as where the character is located. Similarly, you will know if there is a place or object within 30 feet of you that has been magically consecrated or desecrated. The spell can penetrate most barriers, but is blocked by 1 foot of stone, 1 inch of common metal, a thin sheet of lead, or 3 feet of wood or dirt.
Okay, fey are all around you.
Okay.
Basically, everything in this room is fey, except for the thing in the corner is demon. And you do also have a little secretary, this little goblin, who is sitting at a desk, filing her nails down, and she has some sort of projection up in front of her where she's talking. She's talking to someone using Farspeak, but, you know, it's like she's on a phone call.
Yeah.
You know. Oh, okay. You know. Yeah. How she does. Also, in this room, you notice there is a magazine rack with some very interesting-looking magazines on it, and a fish tank with some strange-looking fish-like creatures in it that you have not seen before in your realm.
I'm going to walk to the fish tank.
Okay.
Slowly. And kind of cautiously, like looking around, just waiting for somebody to try to jump on me. But I'm really curious about what those fish look like.
I'll observe and see how anyone reacts.
All right. The three school-age children are all watching Roscoe as he walks up to it. But other than that, everyone's just kind of keeping to themselves. And Roscoe, as you go up to the fish tank, you see a few creatures. There's one that almost looks kind of like... It's like a fish version of a cow. Like, it's white and black spotted like a cow. It has little horns on top of its head, but it's a fish. It's kind of a very awkward looking sight. You see a little octopus that, as it spins around, it actually kind of spins very quickly in a circle, and it looks almost like a shuriken that's being thrown across water. As it goes across the tank.
That's pretty
all
awesome.
Black. And you also see what we would know in our human world here, in the real world, in the US of A,
in as RL.
A clownfish.
Yes!
Well, aren't those adorable?
So as I'm walking over to these fish... I'm going to kind of just, like I said, I'm looking around. I'm going to let my eyes wander to the children. And once I notice they're looking at me, my eyes are going to quickly dart back to just kind of look away. And I'm going to try not to let them see that I'm nervous or shook by them, but it's hard to hide. He is very uncomfortable by these school children.
As well you should. I mean, they're creepy school children. I bet that they speak with slow British accents.
Oh, it's my least favorite kind. I'm going to look over to Cypher and be like, I don't much like children.
Well, as a high priest of the Church of Genericus, I don't either. I'm going to make a bad Catholic joke there, but I'll go ahead and pass that up.
And... Let's just all laugh together.
Woo! Well, perhaps Roscoe... She looks like the one we should be talking to see if our friend Locke has been through here. He points at the receptionist.
I agree with that one. Let's meander over there, I guess.
But I gotta tell you, I've got a bad feeling about that one over there, indicating the demon.
Yeah, he gives off an uneasy feeling.
And my final aside is, it's adorable that they have an actual sea cow here.
I've never seen one in real life. I've always heard stories.
Well, traveling with me, you see some things, my friend.
That's what I'm starting to realize. I mean, I always thought they were fantasy. Something made up. I didn't realize they were actually a real thing. This is crazy.
All right, you there, desk lady.
Just one moment, please. And she keeps on talking on her call. I'm sorry, honey. I'm gonna have to let you go. I got these new people here. They probably want to talk to the crane or whatnot. I gotta do my job, but, you know, you keep doing you, hon. Talk to you later.
And then the Farspeak hologram thing disappears, and she looks at you.
How can I help you?
Lady of the waiting area, I beg of you an audience with the crane. If you could oblige us, that would help us to continue on with our journey.
The crane is very busy at the moment. He is speaking to a couple of, well, a couple of clients, and, can you please fill out these forms? And she brings out this, like, clipboard with about 20 different pages on it and hands it to you. Oh. And then we'll get back to you as soon as there's an available time.
Excuse me. And I'm going to kind of, like, try to lift myself up on the counter so I can look at her. Is one of those clients in there, is he a cowboy? He's got a boomstick.
Not an actual cow, but he wears a funny hat and...
That's just what he called himself. He said, I'm a cowboy, y'all. That's what he said. And then he's got a boomstick, a big... Some people call it a hand cannon. It looks like a cannon in your hand.
Now, there are these two, they're kind of like demon-looking creatures from the demon realm in there, this brother and sister, and they're talking up a storm about something or other.
Oh, right then. Well, I'm just going to, like, hop back down.
Listen, madam, as a high-ranking priest of the Church of Genericus, I am a man of many skills, of which writing is not one. So these forms you've handed me, they are much kindling.
Well, as a devout member of the Church of Bureaucracy, you need to fill out those forms, good sir.
I can try to do it, Lord Cypher. I've seen my mum use forms like this before.
Well, I will Maybe. Watch. Entertain right me, chum.
Everywhere it says signature, I'm just going to put a big X.
If you guys want some entertainment, you're welcome to look at our fish. People like to stare at the fish. Or over there, we got some magazines up there on that there rack.
I already looked at the fish. I might give a gander to a magazine, but all right then. Or we could just, you know, tell her to get stuffed and go find Locke. He might not be here, but he's not in talking to the crane.
Can we trust her, friend?
Trust that she's not talking? Maybe not. You want me to try sneak in there, see if I can see who he's talking to?
Yeah, that sounds adventurous.
All right, then. Oh, let me go fill out these forms, and I'm going to go...
You feel something just kind of push very, very strongly against your shin.
I'm going to look down.
You can't go in there, sir!
And it's the little creature that you saw... In the ice slate in the door.
I can do what I want. I'm gonna like try to like nudge him off my shin. Not super hard, but enough. Kind of like if you're like tossing a cat, you know, just away.
Do a strength check for me.
I am not strong. 11.
Oh, 11. This little thing is not quite what he seems. As you push up against him. He does not budge.
Oh, strong and, little fella.
And then can I have you do a strength save?
Yes. Once again, not in a strong suit. 8.
Okay, with an 8, he pushes you back, and you fly a good 10 feet onto your butt. And he goes,
please stay away from the door, sir. Thank you.
All right, then.
I told him not to do that. I don't know. I don't know why I was trying to get in there, friend. I apologize. Roscoe, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Right.
And the secretary is just over there, kind of filing her nails, and she says, don't mind him, honey. Don't mind him. He's just an ogre. You know how they get.
All right, then. That's how he wants to play it. I'm going to... look around, and I'm going to try to find a way I can, like, blend or hide with the people who are in waiting, because I can actually hide behind things as long as they're a size category bigger than I am.
Okay, go ahead and do a stealth check.
23.
Okay, You blend like there's no tomorrow. You go up to those three creepy looking children, and it's like suddenly there's four of them.
And then I'm gonna try to use my new hidden state to sneak past the ogre and see if I can get to the door.
Alright, you are able to get to the door, but the door does seem to be enchanted.
Uh-huh.
So you at least from what you can see, there's not gonna be a way into the door.
Right then, I'm going to cast. So I'm going to. Let me double check and see what this does.
While he's figuring that out, I'm going to try to size up the demon and see if he seems approachable.
Okay. All right. Why don't you go ahead and do, let's say, an insight check?
Ooh, that's a negative one for me.
15. Okay. So, with a 15, you can tell, at least he does not mean any harm to you, but he is very invested in what is happening in the crane's office at the moment.
Alright, so, is there anything around the crane's office where I could maybe hide?
Yeah, I mean, you can, with that stealth check that you had of 23, I'd say that you would easily be able to hide underneath the desk of the secretary.
Okay, so from there, I'm going to cast Minor Illusion on the door. Oh, wait, so is the door visible to everyone? Or is it, like, down a hallway?
Oh, it's very visible.
Okay, that's not going to work. I was hoping it was down a hallway. All right, let's see. All right, then I'm not going to be hiding under the desk. I had a misunderstanding of where the door was. I'm going to walk back over to Lord Cypher and just kind of think for a moment.
Chum, I hate to disrupt your personal mind-boggling, but I'm wondering if maybe we ought to just talk to the demon. He seems to be the most powerful entity in the room. Perhaps he would have knowledge of any goings-on.
Wait, there's a demon?
Yes, the oversized demon in the corner.
Oh, all right then. Yeah, let's go talk to him. Maybe we can figure something out.
You seem to be the one that knows when I'm making a mistake, so I'm giving you a chance to stop me here if you think I shouldn't go.
No, I mean, maybe he really isn't a demon. I mean, things aren't what they seem here. You saw the ogre. He's a cute little fella.
He was adorable.
So, I mean, maybe he's a nice demon. And if all else fails, I think we could take him.
I like the cut of your jib. And I'm looking for a fight. So let's, where I'm going to approach the demon.
Okay. All right, the demon glances at you, notices that you are coming his way, and then just goes back to looking at the door.
Beg your pardon there, friend. Might I steal a moment of your time?
Do you speak Infernal?
Let me look at my languages. I do.
All right, it says in Infernal to you,
mind your own business, holy man.
You see, that's the problem. I have business I'm pursuing here, and if you could just answer a couple questions for me, I could be on my way.
He just glances at you, kind of glares for a moment, then goes back to looking at the door.
So, in Caleb's world, I picture Infernal sounding almost like a death growl from like a death metal band. And upon hearing that, I am going to like reach for my blade just kind of a little bit to get myself ready, because I don't understand what the hell they're saying or what the guy was saying until... I see that Cypher's kind of keeping his cool and just, you know, hey, just answer a few questions, we'll be on our way. So I'm just going to kind of loosen up, but my hand is ready if we need to do any kind of sudden strikes or anything like that.
So I'm going to take your silence as an affirmation that you're ready for me to continue. We're just looking for our friend. He's got a hand cannon. He's got a funny hat. He's a little bit of a cowboy. His name is Locke. Can you tell me anything? Have you heard anything?
I don't know of any lock or anything from your dimension. I do not care about your dimension. I care about what is in that room.
Alright, so I want to cast Charm Person. I don't know if that works on demons.
I think it technically does.
It's humanoid? Is he a humanoid?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to try to charm him, just kind of wiggling my fingers to make the spell or whatever, and just kind of whispering under my breath as they're talking.
Okay. Alright, and what do I have to roll against that? Wisdom?
You attempt to charm a humanoid within range. It must make a wisdom saving throw.
And does so with advantage if
with
you
advantage
are...
if you or your companions are fighting.
Which it does, which you are not.
Yeah.
Okay. Alright, and what is your spell save DC?
Spell save DC is set go 13.
Okay, you rolled a 9, so this is now charmed. And you see his eyes kind of glaze over for a second. These glowing red eyes. And, you know, they just kind of get this little bit of a lighter tone to them. And then looks up, kind of like, what was that?
I'm going to say, please, sir, I can't speak your language, but it looks like you understand what my friend here is saying. Our friend's lost. He needs to be found. And we just need a little help, and then we'll be on our way. We don't mean to be a bother. We just need to find our friend. We're in a weird, strange place we've never been to before, and it's been kind of overwhelming.
And then it says in very broken common,
"You lose friend?"
Yes.
"You have friend."
And it points at itself.
Oh, well, that's awfully nice. I've always wanted a demon for a friend.
You help friend kill. Yes?
I've done that before. Who's the target?
And he just points at the door.
In door.
They won't let me in there. It's enchanted. Can you possibly do some kind of magics to make the enchantment go away? And then I'll be more than happy to take out, unless it's the crane, because I kind of need to talk to him. I could take him out later, after I talk to him.
No magi mag. Oh. Just wait. They come.
Okay.
You know, as a religious man, I don't know if I can agree to just killing someone unless we know they're not good people.
Well, I mean, the lady said they were demon-looking people, but then again, my demon friend is a good person. He's a good friend, so...
He's also demon-looking. That's the rub.
Man, this is... Oh, what a kerfuffle. Oh, what a kerfuffle we have here.
Hey, DM, can I roll a wisdom check and see if it helps me, figure anything out?
Sure. Go ahead and do an insight check.
Insight, okay.
Yeah, insight.
Oh.
12. Okay. With a 12, you really don't find anything out from him. It's pretty... you think, yeah, he might be on the level, you know, as far as a demon is concerned, but...
Hey, Roscoe, can you ask him why he wants to kill?
Oh,
actually,
yeah.
he can hear me.
Yeah.
And then he actually looks over at Cypher and he goes...
I'd rather talk to you just because I can understand you. I don't like the common language.
All right,
you
then.
Speak the true tongue.
Yes, it's part of my line of work. So why do you want to kill this guy? Is it the crane you want to kill?
No, the crane means nothing to us, but those two in there... They broke a deal with my masters.
Well, that's
they must be punished.
Would you say that they're evil? That's the... I have a hard time getting around killing non-evil entities. That's a... It's kind of a deal-breaker.
There is no evil. There is just honor and those without honor. And those two have no honor.
That is a compelling argument. I am on board with honor. I'm very much into black and white thinking, so that's that has helped me quite a bit. Roscoe, I convey all of that information to Roscoe. Roscoe, what do you make of this? Should we assist in a, I don't know if it's going to be a cold-blooded murder or bringing someone to justice. I'm not sure where we stand here.
Is there a difference?
For me, there has to be, you know, redemption and whatnot, but, you know, so try to look at it through my eyes, and less of the your beady little bloodthirsty eyes.
What's the difference between cold-blooded? What's that mean?
Well, it means, you know, a killing that's done without, you know, reason and in a methodical, cold fashion. Like plotting to bust through a door and kill someone without knowing why we would do that.
Well, we're not without reason. He's our friend, and he's going to give us information. That's the reason.
It does benefit us. That's accurate. Boy, this is a real conundrum. A spicy pickle.
Yeah, so if one kills somebody in this cold blood, does that make them evil? Am I evil, Lord Cypher?
Buddy, I have really been avoiding this conversation for several of our travels. You know, what you do is between you and your deity of choice. You know, my focus as a priest of the Church of Genericus is not to bring others over to the way as a paladin. It's really more to smite evil, so... You know, it's not for me to say whether or not you're evil. I don't want to smite you, so, you know, that probably means, no, you're not evil.
I don't have a deity. I've never really thought about it. Man, you've given me a lot to think about.
You've given me a lot to think about.
Wow. In the meantime, the demon has gotten tired of trying to follow your conversation in common, and so he's grabbed a magazine from the rack. It says Impure Ride on the cover, and he's reading it.
Impure Ride. Nice. So the duration, let's see, because, yeah, I'm assuming we're probably getting close to the end of the charm person.
I think that the charm is an hour.
Oh, okay.
So my duration is 10 minutes on detect evil. Can I sense through the door?
No. With that, I mean, obviously it's a thick enough door where that spell would not have worked. Per that explanation, but also the enchantment would prevent any sort of deeper...
All right, then.
Deeper probe.
I'm going to look at the demon and we say, all right, let's say I take your contract. What information can you give us? And I'll be sure to hold up my end of the bargain once I'm able to, because right now they're inaccessible.
I kill personally.
Oh, you don't want me to kill them no more? That's fine.
You just want us to help you get in?
Help me to kill. They are tricksy.
Oh. Don't know.
I guess Trixian.
Trixie kind. You gotta keep an eye out for those. Those Trixies. The tricksters of sorts.
Listen, Roscoe, this is where I come down on this. I can't agree to do this, but... If you, my companion, fall in harm's way while you're assisting this demon, I think it's justifiable for me to jump in and defend you.
Alright,
So it's really up to your code of ethics, if you're familiar with those terms. You know, I can be a bystander, I can observe, and then if I'm needed to protect you, which is my code of ethics, protecting my friends, then I can get on board.
Ethics. Right, Well, seeing how we can't get in there right now, I feel like we're just wasting our time. We might want to go see if we can find Locke elsewhere.
All right, well, I'll follow your lead. Again, I'm not agreeing to any infernal contracts here, so...
I haven't signed anything. No agreement has been made. We didn't shake hands, nothing like that, so... I think I'm okay to walk away while he still thinks we're friends, because... The moment he realizes we're not friends, he's probably going to be really livid. Especially if he doesn't like the trickster type, we should probably get out of here.
Well, let's make our merry exit then.
And as you stand up to leave, the door to that office opens, and you see these two kind of demon-like creatures, but, you know, they're more humanoid than your regular demon. walk out. There's one short blue one and one that's a little bit taller and female and purple in tones. And they walk out kind of quietly talking and arguing with each other and walk out the door. And the demon immediately stands up and starts walking out the door after them.
All right, as he goes to leave, I'm going to...
Well, I'm not feeling so good all of a sudden about letting this giant demon kill those two defenseless tiny tootsies.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was at. So I'm actually going to, as he walks past, I'm not necessarily an honorable type, but I am going to cast Ice Knife at the demon. Let me see. So you create a shard of ice, then you fling it at one creature within range. Make a ranged spell attack against the target. On a hit, the target takes 1d10 damage. Hit or miss, the shard then explodes. The target and each creature within 5 feet of it must succeed a dexterity saving throw or take 2d6 cold damage. I didn't see the explodes part. Wow. Things just got interesting.
This could be bad.
This could be very bad.
So a 10 definitely does not hit this thing.
Okay, but it explodes.
It explodes and then needs to do a dexterity saving throw.
Yes, everything within 5 feet of it.
Okay, luckily the only other thing that was within the 5 feet is the little ogre.
Okay.
Okay. Which was over by the door. Let me go ahead and roll.
So it's a DC 10. It's not very high.
Yeah, and we got a 16 and a 14.
Okay, cool.
So it just... Luckily, it did not hit or even register to these two creatures. Because, let me tell you, they would have destroyed you. But just the two of you, on your own.
But technically, he's still charmed, though, right?
Technically, he's still charmed.
Okay. I'm going to.
I think we might ought to follow and make sure our little victims are safe.
Okay. Let me see. Cantrips. Yeah, I agree. I do want to follow them. Sorry, I'm looking at some of the cantrips that I have to see if I can maybe trick him into doing something else. Dang it, I wasted that spell on ice knife. I should use this guy's self.
We're following while he's considering.
Yeah, I'm gonna follow and just kind of watch while I'm looking at what I can do.
Oh, it's nice to get home. Philosophical and stuff and think about life and things. You can find all of the answers to life and the meanings thereof on the next episode of 1D10 The Show!